محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام را، تلك آيات الكتاب المبين. إنا أنزلناه قرآنا عربيا لعلكم تعقلون. نحن نقص عليك أحسن القصص بما أوحينا إليك هذا القرآن وإن كنت من قبله لمن الغافلين. إذ قال يوسف لأبيه: يا أبت إني رأيت أحد عشر كوكبا والشمس والقمر رأيتهم لي ساجدين. صدق الله العظيم.
The incident of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is one that practically nearly every one of us have heard it sometime in our life. It is known as Ahsanul Qasas, an incident that Allah Ta'ala describes as a very, very unique, beautiful incident. It is one of the few places in the Quran Kareem where you got an incident from the beginning going right till the ending. Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he went for Mi'raj, then every angel and Nabi that he met on a different angel, on a different heaven, that Nabi was going to give a message. One is directly to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one was then to the Ummah, which is a very long and detailed matter. But we will only speak about Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam meets him most likely on the third heaven. And it was at that time in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that his main support Khadija radiallahu anha had passed away, and Abu Talib had passed away. It was very difficult now in Makkah Mukarramah. The worst enemies were those that were living next door, the neighbors. And because there was no support in the house, Fatima radiallahu anha would say that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come home, but they would lay out thorns in the dark. So he would put his foot on the thorn, then he would feel the pain, then he would grab support on the door, then the door would be messed with filth. And then he would come in the house, and that amount of food that he had put in for his family, Fatima radiallahu anha was a young girl at that time. But now when he would stir the pot, he would find that one of these evil people had come in and they had thrown the fetus or the dirt or the filth of an animal inside, so the whole food had to go. And she says it carried on like this for a great time. It was difficult because you got no support now. You don't have someone to come home at night and talk. At that time Allah Ta'ala makes the Mi'raj happen. And it was to explain that in sabr you reach very high levels. Lot of times you won't know it also, but in sabr, a person becomes very close to his creator. But then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going to meet Nabi Yusuf alaihi salam. And in that meeting, Yusuf alaihi salam is going to give a message that your history is going to be, or your future is going to be my history. So you know the whole surah Yusuf. And as verses of Quran would be revealed, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not only receive the verse, what we call the word, but it would be an entire computer disk that was given. It was like how you copy one file into another. So with those verses copying, there would be that buzz. And when the revelation was finished, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would know the wording. Then he would know the different i'rabs on top of it, the different manners that it could be read, the different styles it could be read. Then he would understand the tafsir of every single verse. So as that verse would come, the entire incident around would come. For which reason, if someone would then come and say to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell me other things of Yusuf alayhi salam, we wouldn't see it in Surah Yusuf, but Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would mention it. Because as the verse would come, that entire explanation would come with it also. So the whole Surah Yusuf was there. So Yusuf alayhi salam, as though he was saying, my story is going to be your history, your past, your future. What is the story of Yusuf alayhi salam? It starts on this, that whoever is the apple of the eye is going to be the one that grabs the most jealousy. So Yusuf alayhi salam is saying that because I was my father's baby, all my brothers would gang up against me. Because you are the selected of Almighty Allah, you will have to understand that the whole world is going to gang up against you. And the message at the same time was going to be given to the Ummah, that because you are the selected Ummah, you will have to take the jealousy of the entire world. And that's the message that was given right at the beginning, that this Ummah will always see itself being pushed, being attacked, being hit from side to side. And you wonder why no one can stand on our side. Because when you are the selected, nobody ever stands on your side. Everyone gathers around. So Yusuf alayhi salam's first message was, you have to see difficult times, otherwise you are not the selected. To be selected, it means you gather everyone's jealousy. Whether you want it, you don't want it. Thereafter, Yusuf alayhi salam, amongst his brothers, there were those that said, kill him. And there were those that said that we will put him in a land where he will not find water, he will not find food, and he will die in that land. So one said, kill him suddenly. The other one said, let him die a long, difficult death. And the third one had little bit mercy, and he said that rather let's just get him out of here. If he goes out, our father's love will be for us. In that, Yusuf alayhi salam was going to explain that you will have different groups of people and how they will deal with you. There will be some who will hate you to the core, which Quran al-Kareem mentions, you will find the Majus and the Yahud. The Jews and the fire worshippers, they burn with the hatred of Islam. And then Quran said, and you will find the Christians, they will always have a slight, a small, what you call, a soft spot for the believers. In the ending, when they will see so many people dying, they will say, stop the war, stop the war. They don't hate you, but they are misled. But as the one brother said, but he had to be under the other brothers. So finally he manages to say to them, why kill him? And why do this? Rather let's just push him away. Get rid of him. We'll put him in one well, one group of travelers will come, they will take him away. He is out of our life, we don't have to worry. In that Yusuf alayhi salam was saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, your time is also coming. When your people will gather together and will make a mashwara, what to do with you? There will be someone who will say kill, and the different methods of killing will be there. And then there will be someone who will say, rather let's just push him away from here. And we all know it happened. And when one person said, let's just get him out, then at that time Iblis would come, Shaitan would come. And he would say, if you are going to send him anywhere, then he will gather with those people and attack you. The only way out is to kill him. But Yusuf alayhi salam left that message that as I never died, I was not murdered, I was not assassinated, however I was sent out, you will also be sent out. And at the same time, the Ummah was also told that you, wherever you are, your history will be such that when the enemy will gather around you, they will never manage to destroy you. The Ummah of Islam will never be destroyed. However, the Ummah of Islam will get moved also. It will move from country to country. It will move from area to area. You might say, once upon a time, this was the land of Islam. But Islam never died, however, it's in another land now. You might find in this land there's no Islam, but you will definitely be Islam somewhere. So how Yusuf alayhi salam moved, and how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved, Islam will also move. There will be times when it won't be where you're looking for it, but it will be somewhere in the world. It will never be assassinated. Thereafter Yusuf alayhi salam, when he goes into the well, and in the well he starts wondering, who is going to help me? So the first thing that happens is that time is, فَلَمَّا ذَهَبُوا بِهِ وَأَجْمَعُوا أَن يَجْعَلُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبِّ. When they grabbed him and they now started pushing him into the well. So the young Yusuf will wonder now, what's happening? My brothers, what are you doing? وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ. At that time Jibreel alayhi salam will come and he will say, don't worry. Because that time is going to come in your life when your brothers will come in front of you. And you will tell them that what had happened and why it had happened and what you all had done, and they will all ask for maafi. Similarly, when the time of hijrat came, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to go out. At that time, Jibreel alayhi salam again will come. And he will say, oh Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're finding you very sad. Why are you so sad? So he says, to leave the house of Allah, the Kaaba, is something I cannot do. And he says, oh Kaaba, had my people not forced me out, I would never have left you. So at that time, Jibreel alayhi salam brings another surah. And that surah is the famous where it speaks about the incident of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, how he was thrown in the water, and how Allah Ta'ala promised the mother, we will bring him back to you. And at the end of that surah it comes, إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لَرَادُكَ إِلَى مَعَادٍ, that Allah who has sent the Quran to you will definitely return you to where he has promised. So Jibreel alayhi salam brings this surah and he says, O Allah's Nabi, glad tidings that you are not going, that you will never come back. From the beginning you already have been told you are going to come back as a conqueror. Similarly, this ummah has always been blessed with the ta'eed of the angels, of the malaika. Jibreel alayhi salam coming on every year, Laylatul Qadr especially, to explain to this ummah that don't worry. Your aid is also on the way. Quran is that message. So whenever this ummah was going to be put down, going into that well, immediately Allah's divine aid would also come. And at that time it would tell the people of the ummah, don't worry. And the examples of this are many. When those people were sent into jail, and they were now going to be tortured in jail, many of them later on when they will come out, they will explain that the one thing that helped me in the prison was that first night I had a dream. And I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told me, don't worry. One said, don't worry. So like this, whenever the ummah will be pushed down, some way or the other, Allah Ta'ala will send a divine message. You will see it in your dream. You will see a vision. You will read one verse of Quran. You will feel some support in the heart, meaning this ummah will never be left alone. Even when they are being pushed down, Allah Ta'ala's hand will be on them that few days of sabr. Now Yusuf alayhi salam at the bottom of the well, wondering, how will I come up? During that days his brothers was around. Their intention now was not to kill him. So obviously they were not going to throw him down hard. They put him down nicely. They would send food for him also. They were now waiting for a caravan to come and get rid of him. So it happened that you had one waja'at sayyaratun. A group of people were passing by. And then they saw that there's a well here. They send someone to get the water. He goes, he puts his bucket down. And Yusuf alayhi salam finds that help has come. So he jumps on. And he puts his expectation on the man who's pulling up the bucket. Because the expectation fell on that man, anything could have happened after. One is the man could have said, a young boy, what you doing here? You're not supposed to be here. Who's your father? Tell me who's your father, let's go to your father. But this was a Nabi. And a Nabi, as soon as his expectation went on that man said, Ya Bushra Hada Ghulam, that this is money. So Yusuf alayhi salam had no time to talk. And tell him, will you please take me back to my father? Wa asarruhu bidua. Now they said, we can make business out of this. So they covered him, no one must see. They covered him. Wallahu alimun bima ya'malun. Allah was well away. But the nazar went on that man. So Allah Ta'ala said, for my selected, whenever the eye will fall on someone besides me, then help can't come immediately. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has to make the hijrat. In the hijrat, there were many ways to make the hijrat. One was that you keep your selected sahaba radiallahu anhu behind. You keep people like Umar radiallahu anhu and Hamza radiallahu anhu behind. You keep an army behind. Because when I am going to be going over, the people of Makkah Mukarramah are definitely going to try to harm me, kill me. But Allah Ta'ala wanted the world to see that my Nabi is not in need of the protection of anyone. So everyone is sent. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is kept, but not as a soldier, as a protector, as a companion on the journey, as a khadim. And to prove it even more, Jibreel alayhi salam now comes and says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mashwara was made. They are going to kill you at a certain time. They were going to gather. So the normal what you will do is, you will say at night they are gathering. So in the morning, daytime, afternoon, after Asr, let's run away. But the command is, as long as Allah doesn't give permission, don't leave. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will tell Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that you must wait for me. And then he will call Ali radiallahu anhu and he will put him in his bed. And he will tell him that when I go over, then you, after a while, this amanat I'm leaving by you, you must pay everyone. And thereafter you also come to Medina Munawwara. Ali radiallahu anhu says, that night I knew I am sleeping with 100 swords over me. How many swords? And I don't know whether they will first open the sheet and see if I am who I am and then cut. or they'll just normally cut, then you open and say, you got the wrong person. So how much of fikr you will have to sleep like that? He says, but that night, because I heard one sentence, that after I am gone, you must pay the amanat. That told me that I'm not dying tonight. So there's a unique world. But at that time, when Nabi Muhammad is leaving now, he gets the command to leave only when they are surrounded. The enemy never come at the beginning of the day. They came late at night, so you don't have the Quraysh ganging up and telling them, what are you doing here? Get out from here. They would come late at night. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is told, you will wait for them to come. Now when all are gathered, now the command comes, now go. So now you are walking through death. But in that condition, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reads some verses of Quran and he walks. And he and Abu Bakr, he will walk past them. Later on, one man will come and he will see this group standing. So he'll ask them, what are you waiting for? They will say, we're waiting to enter, to attack. Attack who? He says, but I saw long ago Allah's Nabi, meaning Muhammad, he walked past one. And you're all like making way and he's gone. Then everyone, you are lying, then they'll go to the house, they'll see Ali radiallahu anh. Now they will start searching. Again, when the search started, anything could have happened where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have been taken away to Medina Munawwara. You have Jibreel alayhi salam to escort. You have birds to escort. You have animals to escort. Any miracle, mu'ajiza could have taken place. And you disappear from one land and you land up in another land. But Allah Ta'ala wanted the world to see. So what happens? The Quraysh will start tracing the enemies. They will have trackers. These trackers will bring them right to the cave. And they are master trackers of the desert. So the man is convinced that they are in this cave. Most likely it's Abu Jahl who says, I really thought you to be intelligent. If anyone was in this cave, then how do you think there's a web of the spider? This spider web is very old. If someone had gone in, he would have broken the web. So the man is looking again, he looks back, he says, they are in here. And then that Abu Jahl will say, you're wasting our time. And a small argument. As they're arguing there, one person gets the desire to urinate. So he will come right to that one place where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, had he just looked down, he would have seen our legs. Right there, and he's urinating there, you can even see his urine falling. That time Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu starts getting panicky. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, oh Abu Bakr, what do you think of those two people who Allah is the third? Meaning this is a lesson for mankind, that my eye is not on the one pulling me out of the well. My eye is on Allah, nothing will happen and nothing happened. The whole journey was a journey of no protection. To show the world which Allah Ta'ala later on when the battles will take place, He will say to the believing Ummah, that if you don't want to help Allah's Nabi, then remember there was a time that He never helped any one of you. When He was in the cave alone, who helped Him? That Allah will help His deen. But He is giving you the chance. So Yusuf alayhi salam looked up. The message was that when your time comes and you're in the bottom of the well, never ever look at anyone but the Zat of Almighty Allah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 100% did it on Mi'raj. At the same time the message was given to this Ummah, that y'all are a selected Ummah. So when you will also be pushed down in the well, and you will be looking for someone to pull you up, don't ever put your eye on the one who's pulling the bucket. Because against your expectation, everything will resell you. And they have sold enough times already. And this Ummah will only come out of its slavery the day it loses trust on the whole world but the Zat of Almighty Allah. Allah Pak has selected it, so it's a unique Ummah. Like the husband will say, as long as you don't look at me, I will not do it for you. Allah Ta'ala has this love for this Ummah. There has to be that look. Yusuf alayhi salam is now brought up. So those people see him, then it is not clear what happens. One view is that now they were worried, that since we stole this boy, if we get caught, then people will accuse us of taking an innocent boy. For which reason, as soon as they found the caravan going towards Egypt, they told those people, we got a slave, he's not very good, we don't want him. Very handsome, but he's not behaving, you don't want him. And at a very small amount of money, they will sell Yusuf alayhi salam. And now Yusuf alayhi salam will get in that caravan and he will go. That is according to one. Another one is that the brothers at that moment pitched up. And they said that, what do you have hidden under there? So those people got worried.
Then the one person said that, you know, I don't mind, the slave of mine is really a very, very bad slave. And I wouldn't mind selling him also. I will give him to you at a very low price, on condition you take him far away from here. So those people said, we are going far. I said, very good. So whatever it was, Yusuf alayhi salam was sold at a very small amount of money. However, when he reaches Egypt, and then they put him in the market, then the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam now stands. And those people who are selling got no fear now, because they bought the boy proper. So they sell him at a very high price. It happens at that time, the minister of Egypt. Now on the way, the one thought would have been, that if Yusuf alayhi salam had to be looked after, where could he find more comfort than with his mother, which was his mother's sister, meaning his, what you will call, his father's wife, which was his khala also, his mother had passed away. So his khala will look after him the most, and his father, Yaqub alayhi salam, loved him, and obviously his mother also loved him. He was a unique boy. On the journey, who will ever think now that he will be able to find that amount of comfort in what is called not your family? But as soon as Yusuf alayhi salam reaches Egypt and the minister buys him, he comes home and he says to his wife, this is not a slave. Akrimi maswaho. I want you to honor this boy. It seems he will give great benefit to us. Perhaps I might even think of adopting him. Because adopting means he's like my son. So treat him like my son. From that moment, Yusuf alayhi salam was now going to be tempted. And we all know a father pampers a son, but a grandfather does even more. Yusuf alayhi salam was going to receive a grandson's pampering. Everything was done for him. Which Almighty Allah says, when Allah wants to look after you, He can put you in any house and you'll be looked after. Now when the time came for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go to Medina Munawwara, Abbas radiallahu anhu met with the Ansar. And he told them, O people of Medina, of Yathrib, you have got big talks. But remember, this man, as long as he's amongst us, we are his family. No matter what, even if the Quraysh, the Banu Hashim, don't believe in him, they will make sure he is never harmed. But you people are pulling him away from his family. What will happen when the Arabs of the world gather against you? And you all know, you will say, he's not our family man. Why must we sacrifice our wives and children for a man who's not ours? So Abbas radiallahu anhu said that. One of those group who had come to call Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Medina Munawwara. So much of respect he had already, that he said, O Allah's Nabi, this is your uncle. And if I reply and I say a word disrespectful, will it harm you, hurt you? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, give an answer. And then he stands up and he says to Abbas radiallahu anhu, that you are also talking big. That you all love him, you are looking after him, but you are not prepared to listen to him. And we have a nation that is dying to meet this man. And we will die on his every command. And then he says, even if our wives, our children, we have to sacrifice everything, we are putting it all. We have thought about this matter very well, now we are calling him. So what happened when Yusuf alayhi salam found a new household to look after him? When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reaches Medina Munawwara, they are not his family, but suddenly he becomes the pampered grandson. Whatever he wants, to a level of adab which was never imagined in history. The first host is Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu. So he says to his wife that this is a Nabi. You know what a Nabi is? They never had someone teaching them what a Nabi is. They never went for adab classes. But when Allah Tabarakala teaches a lesson of adab, they just learnt it. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters his house. He's not going to stay there all along. He already has plans. Start building my house. I will be your mihman for a few days. He says to Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu, because guests will be coming to visit me. So if I am upstairs, then it's just very difficult. Because every time they come, they have to pass you, they have to come upstairs. When they're coming down, they have to pass you. So I will stay downstairs, you all will go upstairs. He says, oh Allah's Nabi, doesn't matter, you know it. But Nabi Hassan says, no, I will stay down. Now that night, Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu can't sleep. So his wife asked him, what's the matter? He says, I don't know in which part of the house is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now what if wahi has to come and I am the barrier? Because I'm above. So how do I sleep? Because what if Allah's Nabi is walking and is here now? Finally he and his wife said, we will sleep on the corners. So So one is sleeping on that corner, one is sleeping on that corner, so that if wahi is coming, we're not on top of Allah's Nabi. What a level of adab that was. And in that condition, now there was some need for some food or some water, now they are tiptoeing. Because when you walk on the top, you'll always hear the creak. Now they don't want to disturb. And as they're moving like that, you see some water falls also. Now I got the fikr, if that water has to drip through, what if Allah's Nabi is under it and it falls on him and it wakes him? So he says, in that condition, me and my wife are trying to scrub, but you mustn't make a noise. And he says, the next morning I say, oh Allah's Nabi, last night was very difficult. And then Nabi is also telling me, what happened? And he will narrate, you don't have to do so much. Meaning you're overdoing it now, but finally he say, oh Allah's Nabi, you know what? It will be easier on all of us. What a level of adab. That was only the beginning when Islam only started. After that it will carry, until a man will come and say, I had never seen people loving a man like how I saw the companions of Rasulullah s.a.w. loving him. So that was that, how Allah tabarakallah created the house. Yusuf alayhi salam gave the message that as I was going to be then pampered, you will also be pampered in people who are not your family. And similarly the ummah was also told that when you will be put at the bottom of the well, at that time also when the whole world will feel that you have lost your power, you born at the bottom. And when you will be taken out and you will go to another land, because as I told you, Islam never dies, but Islam has to move. Whichever land Islam will go to, meaning Allah will choose now that land for Islam, suddenly that land will look after Islam like the mind could never imagine. And the examples of this are many, but we will give one example. You see the Tatars, the whole world knows there was the Tatar attack on Islam. And they went and they ravaged the Muslim world. They finished up the entire Iraq. And the world had thought that perhaps they will wipe out Islam completely. But Allah Ta'ala showed Yusuf alayhi salam doesn't die. The only thing he moves. When he moved, Allah Ta'ala made it the very Tatars who had massacred the whole Muslim world, they accepted Islam. And they established such an Islamic Khilafat which was called the Ottoman Khilafat, which has such unique adab for Islam that you could never imagine. If you go to Turkey today, the other day I was reading, Mawlana Zulfiqar, Damat Barakatu wrote, or he gave a bayan, someone wrote it, so there was one point of one of the leaders of the Ottoman Empire. They say he had so much of adab for deen and Islam, that when he took over Egypt and he took over Hijaz, then he said all the tabarrukat of that must be brought. And it was brought and it was kept in a chamber near his room. In the respect of the chamber of this tabarrukat now, something of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, something of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, in the respect of that he said that there must always be someone reciting Quran by that tabarruk. So the person is writing that for 400 years this chain has continued, that in that room a Qari is always reading Quran. And I don't know whether when Kamal Atatürk came, whether he carried on, but he says when we went past the room, we saw the Qari, they are still reading Quran. 400 years chain of adab for that one, those group, that artifacts that he had brought. And this is from my Rasul of Allah, Quran must be read in front of him. That group came. So it was not the household of Islam, it wasn't the Arabs. But when Allah Ta'ala wants someone to look after Islam, they become unique in their adab, in their love, in their striving. And every group has a different chance. There will be a time when the Turks will have it. There was a time when the people of what we will call Russia had it. At that time Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, what great ulama muhaddis came. There was a time when the people of Iraq had it. And like that Allah Ta'ala makes that wherever Islam goes looking for refuge, those people become unique to protect that Islam. So Yusuf alayhi salam now would grow up. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's now strength would grow. And Islam, whenever it comes to a new place, from there it starts growing. And it starts spreading against its rays in the entire world. So as Yusuf alayhi salam is growing, now the wife of the minister, she starts becoming too close to Yusuf alayhi salam. And his beauty is now becoming more unique. And it's not an easy thing to say, what an evil woman. Because that woman was put in the hardest of imtihana. She was a mother, so there is no parda. So you are in the kitchen, you are in the bedroom. You saw the boy growing up in front of you and you got no deen. So in their time, anyone who wanted to have an affair, it was no big issue. Yes, it was a funny thing if you're having an affair with your slave boy, but there was no deen, there were idol worshippers. So for her to control herself in front of Yusuf a.s. was no easy thing. That is why now, so she starts smiling, she starts going closer. Yusuf a.s. understands that she's now doing some amazing things, and he says, "Mummy, what are you up to?" And he pulls away. She'll put her hand on him, he will say, "Mummy, just leave me." He's feeling uncomfortable. You might think, why couldn't he just walk out of the house? He's the son of the house. And he's the slave in the house. Where does he go? And he can't go and tell daddy, "You know what mommy is doing to me?" So Yusuf a.s. will pull back, or he will pull back. And Zulaikha, she will start becoming more and more irritated that she's not getting the hint. And until the time finally comes where she has the doors closed, Yusuf a.s. is in the room. He's not going to say, "What are you doing with me?" This is a mother. Even if she calls him and she tells him, "Sit," he will sit. But now she goes close to him and Yusuf a.s. starts pulling away and she wants to hold him tight and he tries going and he's going towards the door. Finally he reaches the door, he pulls. Before reaching the door, she pulls at him a little of the qamis tears. You all know the incident. Yusuf a.s. opens the door, the master is sitting on the other side. He says, "What's happening?" Now he sees the thing is torn. And it's already understood already who the liar is. It's understood. Anyone can see that where the thing is torn. And even if the man at that moment never want to understand the truth. So Almighty Allah makes the small child speak. And he says, "Look at the qamis. That look where it's torn from." Anyone can work out that this woman was attacking that man and he was trying to get away. Everyone understood it. Everyone started talking. In that Yusuf a.s. was giving an indication that your time will also come. Where again in the land where you are protected, there will be an evil force from within. And that has always been known to be the hypocrites of Islam. Because wherever Islam settles, whether it settles in Darul Uloom Azadwan, then you will get someone from within whose job will be to break it. If it settles in Iraq, you will get someone from within. If it settles in Turkey, you will get someone from within. There will always be a person from within whose job will be to break the whole system. And when the one from within tries it, the truth will be so evident that any simple man who reads it will understand who the liar is and who is speaking the truth. Just like how everyone knew it. But just like how no one wanted to believe it, it will always be like that with Islam. When the story comes out in the news, anyone who reads it will say this is a lie. But at the same time, everyone will believe it also. No one will listen to the small child. No one will see true evidence. Everything will be accepted, which is a lie. And the truth will always be told. So even when the girl was caught, then the master told her, just behave yourself. Even when the enemies are sometimes caught out, sometimes we know in their propaganda, they make a major error. And then someone will say, "But you're talking rubbish, this man is still alive, how could he have blown up that been in the aeroplane?" Immediately, just cover up, and the world forgets about it. No one will talk who the liar is, but the truthful one will always be a target. So Yusuf a.s. gave a message to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When you will reach Medina Munawwara, you will be protected by the people of Medina in a unique manner. But your greatest enemy will also be from within Medina Munawwara. That was the Jews and that was the Munafiqeen. And they will go out of their way to make you look bad in the eyes of the world. And the message was given to the Muslim Ummah also. Wherever Islam will find sanctity, you must be sure the hypocrite is going to rise from within again. And that group will again have to bear the difficulties that will come after. What will be the difficulties that come after? Now finally Yusuf a.s. is pulled. The woman invites him that, "I am not going to harm you. The only thing I want you is to satisfy my desires, give in to me." So Yusuf a.s. will say, "I'd rather go to prison." Meaning, "I'd rather go back to the jail. I'd rather go back to the well. I'd rather start where I started, but I will never sell myself. I will never sell my deen." At the same time, Yusuf a.s. gave a message to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that in Medina Munawwara, the Jews will also come to you. The hypocrites will also come to you. Many people will come to you and they will tell you, "We will accept you. You must do certain things for us." Which you will read many verses of Quran, where Almighty Allah will say, "O Nabi of Allah, يا أيها النبي اتق الله ولا تطع الكافرين والمنافقين. Even if they ask you to move a little bit also, don't move for them. You just remain straight. Whether they say we'll join you, we won't join you, we'll help you, we won't help you, do not even incline slightly. And Allah Ta'ala will say, slight inclination also will mean the fire of Jahannam. Don't even listen. And Allah's Nabi is not some way he was going to listen. But this Ummah was also given that message. That the time will come that the hypocrites from within will tell you, we don't want to harm you. We don't want to destroy you. We don't want to kill you. We like the Muslims. We like Islam also. But we want an Islam which is our type of Islam. So all you have to do is play our game. Give me a little bit. Money will come. Honor will come. Yusuf alayhi salam, sell yourself to the woman. You will be the king of the house. She will give you even more than you can imagine. Sell yourself to that hypocrite. America will fund you. Britain will fund you. There will be no wars now. You can have the biggest weddings. You can have the biggest walimas. You will have money flowing from all sides. But at that time, Yusuf alayhi salam said, I prefer the jail. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say, even if the whole world leaves me, and I remain in this small condition, but I'm not going to change. Similarly, the Muslim Ummah will give the same answer. That there will always be a certain group who will say, come what may, we're not going to change. And then they will find the whole force of the world falling on them. And different evil people will be given government posts. They will be locked up. Some of them will be killed. But they say, we're not selling our deen. وَدَخَلَ مَعَهُ السِّجْنَ فَتَيَانِ. Now Yusuf alayhi salam goes back in the prison. Now when he's in the prison, it's slightly different from the first time. When he was in the well, he was still small. Now when he goes back in the prison, he is now mature. Similarly, this ummah will have different times. There will be that time when they are in the well, they will be immature, they won't know what's happening. And there will be a time when they will go in a prison, but they will be mature. Mature in this manner, that in the prison, Yusuf alayhi salam found the opportunity for da'wah to Allah. Whoever he would meet, he would tell him, you got a problem, I can help you, but let me explain to you first about Allah. In that was indication, even when this ummah, its khilafat will be broken. And they will not be on top of the earth. Now they will be working from under the earth. There will be no Islamic flags, there will be no Islamic countries, there will be no Islamic governments. But how my da'wah took place within the prison, the da'wah of Islam will take place under also. And we're seeing the da'wah of Murana Ilyas rahimullah, the effort of the Khankas, the effort of the Madaris, everything is closed, hidden. But in there, the thing will carry on. The message of Islam will spread, how it spread when it was on top, it will spread from within also. Then when Islam is under now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also saw his time. The first few years of Medina Munawwara was the years that were under. Because they couldn't go out of Medina Munawwara. There was the battle of Badr, there was the battle of Uhud, then there was the battle of Khandaq. They were being attacked from all sides. But after the battle of Khandaq, now Rasulullah said, now the enemy will never have a hand on top of us. Now we're going out. And then Islam started. Similarly, this ummah was shown, you will have your time in the prison also. And a time will come where your time to come out of the prison will be coming very close. So at that time, Yusuf a.s. met two people, arrangements were made. They came to him, they had dreams. So the one person's dream ended up in this, that you will become the cup bearer of the king. And then Yusuf a.s. said one sentence. He said, when you are by the king, make mention of me. Allah Ta'ala again was going to take Yusuf a.s. to task. You looked at the man who pulled you up, I sent you away. Now you looked at the man, فَلَبِثَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِدْعَ سِنِينَ. So he had to now remain in the prison for many more years. Similarly, the ummah was going to be given a message. Again, when your time is coming to come up, you will be on the verge of coming out of prison. And again, you will see someone's eye will look at that superpower. He's helping us. And again, Allah Ta'ala say, not for you. Go back again. And this ummah will only come out when they don't expect to come out. Yusuf alayhi salam now lost complete hope in everyone but the Zat of Allah. Now when he's sitting there, suddenly the king has a dream. It has nothing to do with Yusuf alayhi salam. And the king needs an interpretation. And now suddenly the man remembers, yeah, I got a friend Yusuf. Now suddenly he comes to him and says, Yusuf, you know what? So at that time Yusuf alayhi salam said, I will give you the interpretation. But first I want my entire matter to be sorted out. that the world must know the truth of Yusuf. And the king then has to have the investigation. In that there was indication that this Ummah's time will also come to come out. And when it will come out, the first thing that it will make clear is the truth. That who was on Haq and who was on Batil. And how that will take place with the coming of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. As he comes down, every Christian will understand what the true story was. And what propaganda was on the Muslim. And all the articles you read on the internet where they will say these terrorists and these evil people, the whole truth will come out. Who was behind it? Who was doing it? Who were the real people? Who were the liars? Everything will come. In that pure state, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam now stands. And very soon he's going to become the king of the entire Egypt. In that he made indication that your time, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will come. As I became the king, you are also going to become the king. And when Yusuf alayhi salam became the king, then his brothers would come in front of him. And they would say, oh please, we don't know how, what we did to you, how will you forgive? And Yusuf alayhi salam will say, la tathriba alaykumul yawm. That I will not even mention what happened in the past, just forget about it. Bring everyone, be happy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reaches Makkah Mukarramah, he's the conqueror. The people of Makkah Mukarramah come. Before that, some people are discussing what's going to be the procedure now. Who are we going to take revenge from? So many years of difficulty. Umar radiallahu anhu said, I'm already preparing my speech. As we are going to the courtyard of the Kaaba, we're going to give a speech. He said, I'm thinking, I'm going to remind that one. Remember what you did to Allah's Nabi. Remember what you said. As I'm preparing my speech, he said, I heard Ya Rasulullah saying, La tatriba alaykum al-yawm. He said, I start shivering. But what I was thinking about and what an answer he gave. He says, I will tell you exactly as my brother Yusuf said to his people. I will not mention the past. La tatriba. And this Ummah was given that same message. That a time will come when the whole world, your family will all come back again. And everyone will put their head down in front. At that time, it's not a time for reconciliation or whatever they call it. This trial and that trial. And you did this against me, you did that. At that time the Ummah will say, we haven't got time to play, you have to learn your deen, you have to learn your iman, let me teach you Quran. Whatever happened in the past, la tasriba alaykum, all forgotten, let's carry on about life. All that's going to happen. Yusuf alayhi salam, one Yusuf, he gave a unique message to the Ummah. And finally now Yusuf alayhi salam's brother comes, and his family comes, and his father comes, his mother comes, everyone falls down in sajda. Yusuf alayhi salam says, this is my dream, the reality I saw. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw his reality. And this Ummah was told long time ago it's going to happen. That dream, you one day going to see it also. And when the Ummah will see it, they say, we knew of this from the beginning. Every hadith told us about it. Every dream was about it. We all knew it. At that time now Yusuf alayhi salam is looking at his whole life. What a long story. Where I was, how I went, up, down. And then he ends his story. Some ulama have mentioned the reason why the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is known as Ahsanul Qasas. One is, it's a unique story. That some have said because in it is Ahsanul Dua. That this incident has the most unique Dua in it. And how this unique Dua is understood, that you go through his whole life. And you see a man who was the apple of his father's eye. And then he was put in the well. And then he was taken out of the well. And then he was pampered by the minister. And then he learns finance. And then he is taken to the jail, and from the jail he rises, like how everyone will speak Mandela, how he rose and how he came out. This was a unique boy, where he rose, where he became. He was not even known in Egypt. Mandela was known. This boy was not even known, how he comes out from the jail and the whole Egypt falls at his feet. And how he makes such a system that he helps the countries around, and he becomes the famous Yusuf. And now his father comes, his mother comes, a Nabi falls in sajda in front of him out of respect. What a great honor it is. At that time Yusuf alayhi salam looks at all of this and he makes this one dua. He says, Rabbi qad aataytani min al-mulki. That, oh Allah, what a kingdom you have given me. Wa allamtani min ta'wil al-ahadith, and what knowledge you have given me. The knowledge to interpret dreams in a unique manner. He says, but all this is in its place. It's this world, it's this knowledge, it's this fame, it's this pomp. Everyone is running, oh Yusuf. He says, Fatir as-samawati wal-ard, O creator of the heavens and the earth, Anta waliyi fi dunya wal-akhirah. That you are my only helper in this world also and in the year after. Tawaffani musliman. That let it be that I die with Islam. Because if there is no Islam, then the entire unique Ahsan al-Qasas becomes no Qasas after that. It's all one forgotten Cleopatra story. Romeo and Juliet, they lived happily ever after, but they never, but they died and they went to the Qabr. And in the Qabr, a different story starts. So he says, my story will remain Ahsan al-Qasas if I die with Islam. وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ And I join with the pious. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, at the end now he sees all the people coming. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا Meaning the end of your story, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be that what and what you saw in Makkah Mukarrama, what you saw in Medina Munawwara, there was the up days, there was the down days, there was all the days. Now you are the grand king. Now Islam is spreading in the whole world. Now people are all coming. But remember, the real thing is, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ When you will see people coming into the fold of Islam in droves and droves, then you must worry about your akhirat. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ Now you start worrying about coming towards your Allah. At the time of going now, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will say one sentence, very similar to Yusuf Alayhi Salaam. Yusuf Alayhi Salaam said, join me in the company of the selected. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will say, اللَّهُمَّ الرَّفِيقَ الْأَعْلَى That, oh Allah, this world is just a world. It's not to live in. What is done here? Now I want to be in the company of your selected. And similarly, the Ummah was given that message also. That whether you will see the good days of Islam, or whether you will see the difficult days of Islam, or whether you might see both days. You see, I remember in the past when there was no Islam, and today there's Islam. I remember when we were Muslim, and today we are Ghalib. I remember the time when we were Ghalib, today we are Muslim. No matter what side of Islam you see, a Sahabi radiallahu anhu is going to be killed. So before being killed, he said one poem. He said, وَلَسْتُ أُبَالِي حِينَ أُقْتَلُ مُسْلِمًا That as long as I am going to be killed on Islam, it doesn't bother me في أَيِّ جَنْبٍ كَانَ لِلَّهِ مَسْرَعِي That on which side my fall takes place. Whether it takes place that we were conquering army, or it takes place that we lost the war. It takes place that I'm assassinated or it takes place I'm killed in the field. As long as I die on Islam, I'm not bothered how I fall. Now even if they cut my body into pieces, Allah will put barakah in every piece also. That blessing is given to this ummah that no matter what sign of Islam you see, whichever side, the side of victory, the side of defeat, you see in the newspaper things that make you sad, you see the whole story also. Remember, the story is just for this world. Your main concern is how you die. Because when you die, your real story is going to start. تَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ Almighty Allah says, this is the stories of the unseen. That where the ummah will know their future. But this is your whole future. نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ أَجْمَعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَمْكُرُونَ وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ وَمَا تَسْأَلُهُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ وَكَأَيٍّ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ And Almighty Allah says, how much has been mentioned already? How many things have been mentioned? How many signs have been mentioned? You will see the whole history unfolding. How many signs there are of Allah Tabarakala in the heavens and in the earth? Meaning, the whole world knows the incident of Yusuf alayhi salam. What signs there were, but majority remained blind. So Almighty Allah says, forget remaining blind of Yusuf alayhi salam. There are those people who remain blind to the sky, who remain blind to the sun, who remain blind to the moon. How many signs there are in the heavens and earth? يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ That people will never notice. But there will always be a certain group of people who will notice these things. And they will take lesson, and with that lesson it will create a happy heart. And they will know as Yusuf alayhi salam lived smiling, and he passed away smiling. This ummah will live smiling and it will pass away. And I also must live smiling and I must pass away in that condition. Allah grant us all understanding. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.